And now may I present one of the most charming and talented members of Hollywood's younger generation, soon to be seen in The Wizard of Oz, MGM singing sensation Miss Judy Garland.
It was like a breath of spring, I heard a robin sing, about a nest set apart. All nature seemed to be in perfect harmony. Sing went the streams of my heart.
Hey Judy fans, this is Mindy. Thanks for listening to another episode of Old Time Radio. Next up in our series featuring Judy Garland is her appearance on, where else, The Bing Crosby Show. This one aired October 18th, 1950, and she's joined by, who else, Bob Hope. Now, we've heard this trifecta of comedic legends in so many different shows at this point that sometimes I feel a little, I'm not sure what the word would be. Not exhausted, it has a negative connotation. It's the information I can share is not really new, I think. I think we've really gotten into a lot of the dynamics between these three people. And I thought what might be a better use of our time is to give you a quick preview of some of the shows that we have coming up that Buck somehow finds. Judy could have a 10-second cameo appearance in an hour-long show that no one has heard since 1955. Buck will know about it. He will find it. And then he shares it with us. I don't know what super detective bloodline he comes from. I don't know if he's missed his calling as an archaeologist who could find every single dinosaur bone that's ever been. I don't know. He happens to find a lot of stuff and he curates this wonderful collection for us and is so generous to share. So next time you're in the comments section, give Buck some love for his sleuthing skills in finding these things. But here's a quick look at the treasure trove we're going to be opening in the coming months. There will be radio presentations of The Wizard of Oz. Cinderella. Sounds interesting. I'm excited for that. There's a musical called Lady in the Dark. I'm not familiar with it, but it's up in our rotation here. And then Easter Parade. Those are just the movies. Then we have Bob Hope's show, I guess Judy was on a few times. Judy's going to guest host the Bing Crosby show for Bing when he's off caring for his wife who is dying of cancer. It's a couple of years from the date of this program, so that'll be some, you know, sad but interesting context for a string of shows there coming up. And then a variety of other programs that Buck knows about. So so I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I love the Bing Crosby show. It's not that I am like ho-hum. It's an entertaining show. I listen to it on the way home from the gym. It's a great listen. But sometimes you just let it go as it is and move on to the next. And so having said that, from October 18th, 1950, this is the Bing Crosby show with Bob Hope and our beloved Judy Garland.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in San Francisco, with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the mayors and Bing's guests, Judy Summerstock Garland and Bob Fancy Pants Hope. And now, here's Bing Baggy Pants Crosby.
Oh, yeah. Now, Ken, that type of introduction's entirely uncalled for.
Yes?
Immediately after the show, you report to DiMaggio's restaurant for 30 lashes with a spaghetti whip. I'll be there.
Well, I'm sorry, Bing, but your clothes are a little rumpled tonight.
A little rumpled. Yeah. Well, I can tell you why. I had a very rough train trip up from Los Angeles. Yeah. I had a horrible experience.
Oh, train jumped the track?
Worse than that. I shared an upper berth with Bob Hope.
That must have been a real jolly ride.
Ken, have you ever traveled with Hope?
No, I always go first class.
Well, that's the last time I ever get stuck in a berth with Groaning Lisa, I'll tell you that.
Lisa. Why did you have to have Hope in the berth with you?
He broke out of his crate.
I can.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Judy Garland.
Well, Judy, welcome to San Francisco.
Thanks. Hey, Bing, what happened to Bob on the train last night?
What do you mean?
Well, I went up to the baggage car to water him, and he was gone.
He escaped. Now, Judy, while we're in this light mood, why don't we steal a little money singing? What do you say? We have here in the racks a frenetic item, a little thing that seems to have caught on very big. How's about it? Tana.
Yeah, yaza.
Well, the lady's willing, John's got. Let's please to begin then, huh?
A 1, 2, 3, 4. All the boys will envy me for Tana, Tana. When the band is playing, my heart's saying Tana, Tana, Tana.
Tana, 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 Tana. Can't you hear the music playing in the city square?
Tana, 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 Tana. Come where all our friends will find us with the dancers there.
Tana, 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 Tana. Join the celebration. There'll be people there from every nation. One will find us laughing in the sunlight, dancing in the city square. Tana, Tana, come and dance a horror. 1, 2, 3, 4. All the boys will envy me for Tana, Tana. When the band is playing, my heart's saying Tana, Tana, Tana.
Tana, 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 Tana. Can't you hear the music playing in the city square?
Tana, 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 Tana.
Join us, all our friends will find us with
people
there
from every nation.
Tana, Tana, come and dance the aura. 1, 2, 3, 4. All the boys will envy me for Tana, Tana. When the band is playing, my heart's saying Tana, Tana, Tana. Tana, Tana, come and dance the aura. 1, 2, 3, 4. All the boys will envy me for Tana, Tana. When the band is playing, my heart's saying Tana, Tana, Tana.
Please exhaust.
Oh, you should be.
Je suis fatigué.
Bing, you remember that line?
What
something
line?
Old, something new, something borrowed, something blue.
Oh, very well, Ken.
Well, I figured out a way that line will sell Chesterfield.
You mean the something old, something, how so?
Well, Bing, something old is the test for mildness in a cigarette. Mm-hmm. Why, it's as old as tobacco itself.
Well, that's the tobacco farmer's test. Mm-hmm. Tobaccos that smell milder, smoke milder.
Right, Bing. And something new is Chesterfield's invitation for every smoker to prove that for himself.
Why, sure, I see how it works, Ken. All you gotta do is open them, smell them, smoke them. If you don't have one, snatch a pack of Chesterfields from a friend to do it. That's something borrowed. And after you open them, you just smell that milder tobacco aroma. An aroma no other cigarette has. Compare them with the brand you've been smoking. Now smoke those Chesterfields and prove they smoke milder.
Yes, Bing's right, friends. And Chesterfield mildness follows through and leaves a clean, fresh taste in your mouth. You see, America's first cigarette taste panel, composed of smoking experts, after smoking leading brands over a period of more than a year, told us Chesterfield is the only cigarette in which members of the panel found no unpleasant aftertaste. So make that next pack Chesterfields, friends, and you'll always buy Chesterfields.
That was very moving, Ken. Now, what about something blue?
Well, Bing, I get blue every time I think of the people who haven't proved to themselves yet that Chesterfield is the best cigarette to smoke. Isn't that cute?
Great, yeah. Very big hit song over in Paris last summer called Bolero. Someone's written an English lyric to it. It's got to be quite a hit over here.
All my love, I give you all my love. The skies may fall, my love, but I will still be true. All my sighs will disappear at last. Now the that you're here at last.
Aye, 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 aye.
My heart belongs to you. Don't you ever let me go.
Don't you ever let him go.
You thrill me so I can see as I recall my life. I've waited all my life to give you all my love. Aye, aye, aye.
Aye,
aye, aye. Aye, aye, aye. Aye, aye, aye. I can see as I recall my life. I've waited all my life to give you all my love. Aye, aye, aye.
That was very lovely, Bing.
Well, a little full of aye, aye, ayes, I thought. Thanks anyhow, Judy.
Why don't you make a recording of All My Love?
Judith, where have you been? I've already made a Decca recording of that tune.
I mean with Gary.
No, that boy's got one hit this year. If he makes two in a row, the same thing will happen to him that happened to me.
What's that?
My brother Everett will grab him. He'll be a slave for life. To the salt mines.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Everett's always developing new talent. I understand he has a baboon now. that he's grooming for television.
A baboon, huh? Well, I like that better than baboon. He better be grooming something. I'm getting tired of talking.
Well, Bob Hope's in television.
Say, that clown needs a new medium. I got him his job with Chesterfield, you know.
He was with Lever Brothers so long. Well, why did they let him go?
Well, he was headstrong. I told him and told him. I said, if you work for soap people, you gotta wash. Wouldn't listen. Wouldn't listen.
Wouldn't listen. Well, how did they find out he was dogging it?
Well, one of the Lever Brothers personally sneaked into his bathroom and felt his washcloth. Still had the price tag on it. Was 12 years old and bone dry. So they dropped him.
No.
Yeah, not only that, but there was a cake of swan in there that hadn't even been broken in half yet. What a schism
listen,
in their midst.
That's treason of the highest order. I wonder where Bob is.
I don't know. I haven't heard the police report since noon. I really haven't heard it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob Chesterfield Hope, proving to you all that I'm not snooty, because here I am broadcasting with Punchy and Judy.
Here we go. Where you been, genius? In some corner drugstore getting your kicks at the comic book counter?
What no, no, I was at the prescription counter admiring your picture on the iodine bottle.
Say, there's a delightful picture of you on the Lydia Pinkham bottle, too. You know that? Seen the big...
Yes, I bought you a quart. You'll never get through the show without it, I'm sure.
What a yoke. Look at the socks on this character. Look at it. Luminous socks yet. One shocking pink and the other chartreuse.
Well, us younger men have to live it up a little, you know. Yes, what happened to that? I figured that'd be a bop, you know? I said, I'll have my nails done while they're laughing there. Well, us younger men have to live it up a little, you know? and don't get fresh elf ears, or you'll have to...
What is that?
Oh, yeah, that's all. It's right there. And right. You'll have to report, or you'll have... Well, we've ruined this whole thing. Thank you, and good night. Good night. And don't get fresh elf ears, or you'll have to report to Traveler's Aid to get home.
Oh, I'll get home all right, Ballast Bottom.
Where's that?
Right there.
Just stay tuned in, folks. This program will be followed by entertainment.
Clever girl, isn't she, folks? You know, she started out in radio with me. We had a lot of fun working for Pepsodent.
Pepsodent? You told me we didn't have a sponsor.
You should have seen him, kid, when he didn't have a sponsor this summer. Then you should have dug him.
What?
He was beside himself in a more unattractive couple you've never seen.
Why did you ever get Bob a job with Chesterfield, Bing?
Well, it was a challenge to my ingenuity. I tried to peddle him all over, and I want to tell you, it wasn't easy.
All over. He took me down to Monterey and got me a job as a singing waiter on a dine and dance live bait boat.
Yes, and you'd have kept that job, too, but every time I threw the live bait overboard, you... Every time they threw the live bait overboard, you snapped at it.
I got as much right to it as those seagulls.
I tell you, just murder trying to find any kind of a niche for this character.
Why didn't you take him to Ringling Brothers? I understand they're looking for someone to take Gargantua's place.
Well, we tried them, but the kid couldn't make the weight. Judy, I spent many a day knocking at doors with this guy.
And finally, one morning, Judy, we went to the very bottom. He took me to his brother, Everett.
What happened?
Well, Everett wasn't in. He was over at Ringling Brothers getting weighed.
He'd be taking bows in that cage right now, but they couldn't teach him how to peel a banana.
Everett can only skin people.
That's right. Stand up for him.
Well, anyway, I think you're both lucky to be working for a wonderful organization like Chesterfield.
Well, Chesterfield didn't hire us for radio alone, you know, Judy. We've got to do a lot of personal work for the firm.
That's right. We're here in San Francisco on a very special mission.
What's that?
Well, I'm working the mural room at the St. Francis, and Bob is cigarette girl at the top of the mark.
They tried Crosby at the top of the mark, but he got the bends.
You're just jealous because I'm the most attractive cigarette girl.
Attractive? Hey, I'm lovely, I'm engaged, I use Marfac. I'm much more attractive, don't you think, Judy?
Well, when Bing is wearing his tulle skirt, opera hose, and black spit curls, he's the Fifi Dorsey type.
Yes, what about me with my spiderweb stockings, long gloves, and beauty mark?
Well, Bob, did you see Sunset Boulevard?
That's me, the Gloria Swanson type, huh?
No, I had Eric von Stroheim in mind.
Well, beauty contest is over. What are you going to sing for us, Judy?
Well, I thought I'd do Friendly Star from Summer Stock.
Friendly Star, that's a laugh.
Well, she's friendly to me.
I'm going to return her spiderweb stockings. I can buy my own, you know.
Buy them, you can spin them. There we go.
For everyone, brightly shining in the sky, it seems to be a part of our destiny. Every night I eagerly watch them all go twinkling by, but I can't seem to find the one the heavens assign to me. Friendly star, where can you be hiding? Smile for me from out of the lonely night. Friendly star, my fate needs deciding. How I need the glow of your guiding light. I know that you are near.
for I am strangely dreaming. And so, if you can see me from afar, won't you kindly light my way? Lead me to my lover. Just point him out and whisper, there you are, there you are. Then, my love, you will be standing here close to me. In your eyes, I will see my friendly star.
Hey, that was beautiful, Judy.
Well, thanks, Bob. You really mean it?
Well, I can be very sweet when I want to, you know.
Well, if you're so sweet, why didn't you invite Judy to the party that you gave for Mr. Crampton, the head of Chesterfield?
Hmm? Oh, I forgot. I'm terribly sorry. I'll bet you're upset, too, aren't you, Judy? You know, I popped for a turkey.
He bought it at a war surplus store.
I only got the leggings for the turkey in a war surplus store.
To put leggings on the turkey.
To hide the varicose veins. I thought the stuffed celery I thought was especially tasty. What did you stuff that celery with?
Pepsodent. I still have a garage full.
Yeah, it was mighty good.
You know, I'd like to give a party for Mr. Crampton every night. The Chesterfield people are wonderful to work for.
Yes, we can do as we please. They let us alone, those fellas.
Hey, look who's here. Hello, Mr. Crampton.
Good evening, Miss Garland.
Well, Mr. Crampton, this is indeed an honor.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you. I was wondering if I could have a word with you and Bob.
Sure.
Certainly. By the way, Mr. Crampton, how's Mrs. Crampton and all the little cramps? I mean, Chesterfield.
Gentlemen, I've been standing in the wings, and while I was personally amused, I couldn't help but think that perhaps the public might misinterpret your horseplay.
Well, Mr. Crampton, we're working right now. I wonder if we couldn't discuss this later,
No, I think we should discuss it right now.
Well, just as you say.
Oh, sure, sure. He's a cigarette man. If he's got a message, why doesn't he send up smoke signals?
What was that, Mr. Hope?
I said tobacco's a smell milder, smoke milder.
Well, when you have something that important to say, don't mumble, speak up.
You bet. Well, I did it very well.
Tell me, Mr. Crampton, just what didn't you like about our horseplay, as you say?
Well, I couldn't help but get the feeling that in your comedy, you and Bob were getting a little too personal with each other.
Oh.
Now, I may be wrong in thinking this, but I doubt it. You see, Bing, Bob has just joined the Chesterfield family, and the Chesterfield family is a happy family.
Uh-huh.
And as we all... Well, as we all know, members of a happy family don't quarrel, they don't bicker, and they don't say unkind things about each other.
And they don't get any laughs, either.
Now, Bob, it's just as easy to amuse people by tossing kind remarks back and forth as it is to get laughs with insults.
I don't know about that.
Well, we can try. Next week, we can do Little Women.
Little Women, we can wear our street clothes, won't we?
Well... Where's that?
I knew you'd see it my way, boys. Well, that's all. I'll see you on the train tonight.
Oh, you going back in the Lark with us tonight?
Yes.
Poker game.
Pigeon. Do you play cards, Mr. Crampton?
Yes, but I'm afraid I'm a little rusty. I haven't played in years.
Well, we'll chip the rust off you.
Who knows, Mr. Crampton, by the time we get to Los Angeles, you may be working for us.
Well, now, that's the type of humor I think you boys should do. Whimsy. Good night, Miss Garland.
Good night. Oh, must you go, Mr. Crampton? It was such a pleasure watching you put these two characters in their place.
Oh, I don't wish to interfere. All I ask is that both Bing and Bob conduct themselves as gentlemen and cigarette girls. I see you on the train.
Gentlemen, huh?
A cigarette girl.
This is murder. I can't think of anything nice to say about you.
Well, it's a strain on me, too, but we got to eat.
Oh, for the good old days.
Oh, my God.
Things were different long ago when I worked on Crosby's show.
You could bite and scratch and hold a wrestling match on the radio.
We did, too.
You used to say I didn't wash.
I called your nose a summer squash.
I said you were a slob.
Oh, sentimental Bob.
Oh, you were so in love.
Now we can't knife each other. They've broken up the team.
Well, light a Chesterfield and sing the third man theme.
Hey!
Ah, the good old days were sweet.
You used to call me suet seat.
Hey, boys, be good. You gotta eat. Shut up your guff.
We won't be rough.
We won't be tough.
For Chesterfield. Rah, rah.
Oh, you know, this is just too beautiful to just stand here, Bing. Shall we dance?
Well, I'm game. But what'll we do with Judy?
Well, you boys go ahead. I'll stay here by the light switch in case the law breaks in.
Tra-la-la-la-la.
The sponsor's right.
Tra-la-la-la-la.
You shouldn't fight.
Tra-la-la-la-la. He'll slap our wrist if we insist. Tra-la-la-la.
Our insults we must put on toast.
We'll get our jokes from Emily Post.
No gags about my nose.
Just ring around a rosy like a couple of schmoes.
We'll swear to love each other till to the old folks' home where we'll...
I now pronounce you man and wife
for Chesterfield.
Bob, Judy, yeah. Judy and everybody else can kid us all they want about having very little to say to each other under our new policy, but believe me, we got plenty to say about Chesterfield.
Yes, sir, Bing. Chesterfield is the cigarette that everybody ought to be smoking.
Right, and they will, Bob, when they find out how easy it is to prove that Chesterfields are milder.
Sure, it's the easiest test in the book. Just get a hold of a pack of Chesterfields, then open them, smell them, and smoke them.
Compare them with the cigarettes you've been smoking, and you'll find that Chesterfields do smell milder, and they smoke milder.
And don't forget, they leave a clean, fresh taste in your mouth, too.
So always buy Chesterfields, folks. The best cigarette for you to smoke. Very shortly, Paramount's going to be releasing a picture in which I'm involved called Mr. Music. Here's one of the little songs from the piece. High on the list of beautiful sights is you. And I've seen Naples. You are a view they can't overrate. I've seen New York from the Empire State. High on the list of beautiful sounds is your sigh. And I know music of all the wonders I'd hate to have missed. I'd name the thrill when we kiss. And if that isn't the greatest, it's certainly high on the list.
High on the list of beautiful sights is you.
And I've seen Naples.
You are a view they can't overrate. I've seen New York from the Empire State.
High on the list of beautiful sounds is your sound.
And I know music of all the wonders I'd hate to have missed. I'd name the thrill when we kiss. And if that isn't the greatest, it's certainly high. It's so very, very high on the list.
Very good, Bing Boy.
Thank you, Bob Boy.
You know, I saw a sneak preview of Mr. Music, and you were wonderful. You sing like a nightingale.
Oh, and your new Paramount picture, Fancy Pants, is just a scream. I've seen it three times.
You know, MGM's got a great new picture out, too.
Oh, tell us about it,
well,
Judy.
Well, it's a story about the Indianapolis automobile races, and it's called To Please a Lady.
Oh, I saw that. It stars Clark Gable, Barbara Stanwyck, and a cast of hundreds of Fist Tires.
By the way, Bing, who's going to be with you next week?
Well, not him. I want somebody I can talk to. Next week, Judith, a very charming lady joins us right here in San Francisco, Miss Claudette Colbert.
Oh, that'll be a wonderful show next Wednesday.
Thanks, Bob. And I know your show next Tuesday night is going to be wonderful,
oh,
too.
Oh, it is. Oh, good night, Bing.
Good night, Bob Z.
La-dee-da.
Well, good night, folks. See you next week for Chesterfield, the best cigarette for you to smoke.
Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in San Francisco by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guest, Miss Claudette Colbert. This month, your community chest is making its annual appeal for funds to meet the urgent needs of your community's vital health and welfare services. The community chest, under the symbol of the red feather, is many campaigns in one. Yes, it provides hospitals and clinics, baby care, child guidance, adoption and foster home services, aid to the handicapped, and countless other services, whatever your community needs to make it a better, healthier place to live. So open your heart, your purse, give enough for all Red Feather services.
Transcribed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes the star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the beloved and tuneful operetta Countess Maritza by Emmerich Kallman and Harry D. Smith, starring Gordon MacRae and his guest, Miss Dorothy Warren Scholes. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon MacRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's story, Countess Maritza, has been delighting theatergoers for many years. In the title role, you'll hear the lovely soprano, Miss Dorothy Warren Scholes. And I play the part of Count Tosilo, dashing but impoverished nobleman with a carefree attitude toward life.
brave was I, and a woman's smile then was all worthwhile. 'Twas a siren song I heard all day long. At the call of them all, I would fall. If two eyes of blue would my heart betray, I'd be blue as they, for perhaps a day. Goodbye, blonde, then I'd find a brunette.
Could men ask that a mountain like this, a fine horse, and a wonderful country to ride through?
Well, I must say, Count DeCillo, you're in rather high spirits for a man without a penny in his pocket.
Well, why not, Baron? I had a good time spending the money.
Oh, one of the finest estates in Hungary, squandered. And what do you have to show for it?
The memories of a very good time.
I don't know why I ever let you talk me into taking you out here to the estate of Countess Maritza. It can lead to nothing but trouble.
Ah, but I must work. My sister Lisa has another 3 months in her school. I thought they were paid for in advance. But when I found out that they weren't, I had no choice but to go to work. And the fact that you know the Countess Maritza, and that you also know she needs an overseer, solves my whole problem.
I don't trust you at all when it comes to women. Now, if I go through with this mad scheme of yours, do you give me your word to behave as a gentleman?
No, Baron, not as a gentleman. But I will give you my word to behave as an overseer.
But your sister and Maritza are friends. What if Lisa finds out?
Don't tell Lisa the family fortune is gone. Tell her that I'm carrying out a masquerade because I'm secretly in love with Maritza.
If Maritza finds out who you are, we'll both be in trouble. She thinks every impoverished nobleman who pays any attention to her is out to marry her for her money. Well, here we are at her gates. We turn in here.
Hey, Baron, look at the gypsy wagon.
Yes, they come every year at this time and camp on the estate.
Hola, gypsy!
Hola!
Hola, Zigany! Hola!
Hola, follow me. Hola, through the woods and trees. Follow where the wild birds sing, where the gypsy music rings. There without a care you happy be.
Hola, follow me. Hola, through the woodland tree. Follow where the wild bird sings, where the gypsy music rings. Follow on and on, and happy you'll be.
Thank you, my good people, thank you. You are welcome this spring as always. Set up your camp. Make yourselves at home.
Countess Maritza.
Oh, Baron, forgive me. I was so happy to see the gypsies, I didn't notice you. Or your friend.
The Countess, this is Bela Torek, who has only recently left the employ of Count Cecilo, where he worked as overseer.
I'm at your service, Countess Maritza.
An overseer? But he looks like...
I heard that you are in need of an overseer. and I can recommend both his diligence and his honesty.
Bela Torek, you come then with high recommendations indeed from a gentleman I greatly respect. If you want the position, it is yours.
Thank you, Countess Maritza. I do want it very much.
Who is that? Oh, it is you, Torek.
Forgive me, Countess. I did not realize anyone was in the garden. I was just walking through to be sure everything was all right.
Well, I was just sitting here listening to the gypsy fiddlers. Sometimes I wonder if there's gypsy blood in my veins. I have such a longing to follow them.
There's gypsy blood in all of us, Countess. We all love the open road and the open sky. The road that curves ahead into adventure.
Yes, and the wild, lovely music of Romani. Never been anyone who was truly in love with me.
I find that very hard to believe. You're young, lovely. No man ever told you that?
Yes, but those who told me also knew that I had inherited a very large fortune.
Well, if you go through life mistrusting everything and everyone, you'll never find happiness.
This has developed into rather a personal discussion, hasn't it?
Forgive me if I presume, Countess. I'm afraid it was the spell of the gypsy fiddle. I quite forgot for the moment that you are a countess and I but your overseer.
Beg pardon, Countess Maritza, but the Countess Lisa Enverdy has arrived.
Lisa? Here?
Torek, are you in the habit of referring to the sister of your former employer as Lisa?
I apologize, Countess. It was a slip of the tongue.
Kindly watch yourself in the future. You may go to your quarters.
My sister thinks I'm here masquerading as an overseer because I love Maritza. And Maritza doesn't know Lisa is my sister. Well, I've certainly gotten things into a pretty mess.
You seem unhappy, overseer. Come, forget your troubles. Come join the gypsies round the gypsy fire.
Yes. The fires of the carefree, the happy.
those who do not have to pretend. Oh, I wish I could spend the rest of my days with you.
They used to call me Prince, and I had friends galore, and pals to drink with me, and sweethearts to adore. But friends and sweethearts follow summer, flying like the swallow, from the winter to the sunny shore. If I could have my way with gypsies, I would friendships I'd not care, I'd wander free as air. I'd be a happy rover, I would roam the wide world over to my gypsy comrade, I would say. Play, gypsies, dance. While you may, we're gypsies, one and all, I say. And throughout youth's Maytime, love's playtime, hearts ever gay, we only live for just one day. The willow whisper pleasure guides, oh, the future hides, love the only loving, youth a gypsy goes a-straying. Play, gypsies, dance, gypsies, play while you may.
Maritza.
Maritza? You forget yourself again, Torek.
Yes, I do, Countess Maritza. I'm drunk on gypsy music and gypsy dreams and thoughts of you.
Of me?
Of you. Here by this gypsy fire, we are equals. For these few moments that we are equal, I can tell you that there is no girl your equal. The entire length of the Romany Trail.
Here is the second act of Countess Maritza, starring Gordon McRae and his guest, Dorothy Warren Show.
You sent for me, Countess Maritza?
Yes, Torek. I wanted to talk to you about your work.
Has my work been unsatisfactory?
No. As a matter of fact, your work has been most satisfactory. But I'm afraid I'm going to have to discharge you.
Why?
Oh, please, don't feel that it's because you're inefficient. It's because I am inefficient. I can't seem to think of you in the terms that one should think about one's overseer.
Why, Countess Maritza?
I shall miss you. Very much.
I won't go.
You won't go?
I love you. How can I leave you? I love you.
Why is the world so changed today? Why does it seem joyous and gay? Skies never were quite so blue. Love seems to have charms so new. Love in my heart awakens as flowers bloom in May.
That is the old story I've heard. I know it by heart.
My darling.
Torek, my dearest, my own.
Oh, pardon me.
Why, Lisa, come in.
Oh, Cassina, it's all right now, isn't it? She loves you, I'm sure of it.
Lisa.
Lisa? Castillo? Castillo. Torek, you are Lisa's brother Castillo, Count Castillo.
Yes, I am.
Castillo. Thought that, of course, Maritza knew now.
It doesn't matter, Lisa.
No, of course it doesn't matter. For a few moments, I thought it might. But I see the whole thing now. It was most ingenious of you to come here and pose as an overseer. I was lonely and much too sentimental, and you played on that very cleverly. I congratulate you on your performance, Mr. Torres.
Listen to me. Give me a chance. Give yourself a chance.
I know the exact state of your finances, Count Cecilo. Your coffers are as empty as the words you would like to use to sway me now.
Larissa, I wouldn't dream of trying to sway you. You almost loved me. You hate me now. Well, I almost loved you, and I pity you now. You know how to dream, but you won't let your dreams come true.
Golden
come, Lisa.
Yes, Castillo.
Goodbye, Maritza.
Oh, Castillo.
My brother.
Oh, I loved him, Lisa, when I thought he was Torek. the overseer. But when I learned who he was...
Do you think he wants you for your money? There are a dozen women of fortune he could marry. He loves you, Marissa. He truly loves you. But if you let him go now, you'll never see him again. I know him well enough for that.
Where is Tassilo?
He's waiting for me at the gypsy camp. He doesn't know that I'm speaking to him.
At the gypsy camp? I'll go at once.
There's a girl with heart of stone, oh, pity her, you gypsies. Loveless may she live alone, envying you gypsies. Someday may she vainly sigh, and too late discover all her boasted wealth can't buy.
I'm a fortune hunter any longer?
I love you. That's all I know about you. That's all I need to know. I knew that when you walked out that door, if you left me, I should be lonely all the rest of my life.
Oh, Maritza, my darling.
Countess Maritza, with music by Emmerich Kallmann and book by Harry B. Smith, was dramatized for the Railroad Hour by Gene Holloway. In our cast were Dan Tobin and Barbara Waddell. Safety, whether it be on the railroads, on the farm, or in the factory, or safety in the home or on the highways, is, after all, a matter of safe people. Men and women who take that little bit of extra care, which means the difference between an accident and safety. That's why the National Safety Congress is being held again this year for the 38th time to help make a safer America through making Americans safer. Well, folks, next week we'll be in old Spain with the wonderful songs and good fun of the recent Broadway hit, Revenge with Music. And our guest will be the Metropolitan Opera star, Nadine Connor.
It sounds wonderful, and I'll be listening. Good night, Gordon.
Thanks again, Dorothy.
All aboard!
Well, it looks like it's time to pull out. And so until next week, goodbye.
Countess Maritza was presented by arrangement with Century Library, Incorporated of New York. Gordon McRae will soon be seen starring in the Warner Brothers production, The West Point Story. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroad. And now keep tuned to your Monday night of music on NBC.
This program was transcribed.